Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 11th of June, 2017. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim's continuing our series at looking at living in God's way. And this week, he's looking at in forgiveness. The reading is Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. That'll be read by Sheila, and then Tim will start the sermon.
From Matthew 18. Verses 21 to 35, in the church Bibles, it's page 985. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." It's the word of the Lord.
Today our theme follows our thinking about living God's way. It's nice and easy, isn't it, living God's way? Maybe not. Maybe there are things that actually we struggle with and we need to have in focus and keep being reminded of where we should be. So far in our little series about living God's way, we thought about living in love, and we've thought about living in peace. And today, we come to that subject of living in forgiveness. To start with, let's look at what God wants and does do with our sin. I'd like us to take a moment to just remember the magnitude of God's forgiveness. And what we're going to do is I'm going to read a verse first, and then I'd like you to read the verse through again, to just let it sink in, to let it really take root. So here are just some truths that the Bible says about God's forgiveness to us. "You will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." You will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You have put all my sins behind your back. You've put all my sins behind your back. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. I will remember their sins and remember their sins no more. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. I could have carried on, but it would have made the morning quite long, because this heart of forgiveness is present throughout the whole of the Bible. It says in Scripture that God is love, and that love is expressed in God's desire that we might live free and whole as his people. When we looked at living in peace a couple of weeks ago, we thought about the fact that a lot of the lack of peace that people know was due to sin. Sin which destroys the wholeness that God wants us to know. And so today we focus on forgiveness, which needs to be understood and experienced in order for us to live God's way. So the first thing we're going to focus on is this. Forgiveness received. That's where it starts. The verses we looked at a moment ago finished with a promise which had an explanation within it. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on you. And so we need to start with the basic message of the gospel this morning. For we need to know the forgiveness that comes through faith in Christ to begin to unpack what living forgiven is actually all about. Because in Jesus' death, sin is condemned and absolutely judged once and for all. And yet Christ bears the penalty on our behalf by his sacrifice on the cross. It's not that sin's not powerful, important, damaging, and difficult, but that Jesus chose to take that on himself. Now, I want to say a couple of things about that. I want to say this. To believe in Jesus in this way takes courage. To face the reality of being in the wrong. That takes courage, doesn't it? To face up to the reality of sometimes who we are as human beings. And then to actually admit it to God. To admit that we muck things up. To admit that we make mistakes and that we hurt and harm ourselves and others. We need to come to that place of being able to admit that to God. And then to reach out and receive his forgiveness through believing and following Jesus. To call out to God, as that verse from Psalm 86 explains. But when we do that, when we're able to take that and put it into practice and make it a reality, the consequences are enormous. The consequences are huge in our lives because, first of all, we know that we enter into a relationship with God. And through that, it opens up a new way of living, being dependent on Him for our confidence and for our hope. And God's forgiveness is awesome. And I use that word quite deliberately. It's awesome. Because it also includes the privilege of being justified, being treated as if we are righteous. Isn't that amazing? That in Him we are made righteous. That through that we are then made part of God's family. That we are more than just forgiven, but a whole relationship is opened up which we explore and we grow in through the rest of our lives. Isn't that amazing? That's the heart of the gospel, this incredible, gracious, loving God who wants us to enter into that reality in our lives day by day. And it's worth noting how much time Jesus took in teaching his disciples, the founders of the church, about forgiveness. Jesus does it again and again and again and again in different ways at different times. God is love. And that love is expressed in God's desire that we might be free and whole. Joshua Liebman said this: "We achieve inner health only through forgiveness. The forgiveness not only of others, but also of ourselves." And for whoever that word that Christine had earlier, take that on board. We achieve inner health only through forgiveness. The forgiveness not only of others, but also of ourselves. And the thing is, the church, this gathering together of being God's people, is to be a place of freedom and life. For each of us to know forgiveness from God personally is that starting place to then living forgiving. So that's really significant and important. But in some ways, that's okay, isn't it? The thing is, I've got to move on to the other bit. It's about forgiveness being expressed. If we only had to live in relationship with God, we could all go home now, couldn't we? Released and free and whole and excited that we are loved and cared for by our amazing, loving God. But the reality is that we also live in relationship with people. And that brings a whole other dynamic into living forgiven. I like these words from C.S. Lewis. "We all agree that forgiveness is a beautiful idea until we have to practice it." The reading that we heard just a few minutes ago from Matthew is really not very comfortable, is it? It's not a comfortable reading. And there seems in Jesus' teaching, in fact, through the whole New Testament, a serious calling on God's people to live forgiveness, not just to receive it for themselves. Jesus was asked by his disciples how they should pray. And in his reply, you'll remember that Jesus said, "We should ask God to forgive us our sins as we forgive others." Don't you wish he hadn't said that? This is actually about living real. It's not about cloud cuckoo land thoughts. For us to live forgiven, we need to live forgiving. And the thing is, unforgiveness is a dangerous thing. also dangerous is living in the theory and not the practice of forgiveness. So there are two dangers there. Deliberately holding a grudge is one of them, and living falsely is the other. The first danger there is completely unacceptable to Christ. Completely unacceptable. How can we hold a grudge against someone else when we have been given forgiveness from God? Now, we know we fail and we sin and we get it wrong. That's a reality of our lives, isn't it? And how can we apply a different standard or expectation from other people? Why do we do that? Why do we accept that we muck it up, but nobody else is allowed to? It's bonkers, isn't it? It's absolutely ridiculous. And yet that's the reality that many of us live in. We have a much higher expectation of everybody else than we actually put on ourselves. And the reality is that God wants us to be real. That's why Jesus taught about forgiveness again and again and again and again and again. If forgiveness brings us harmony and joy in our relationship with God, so forgiveness is one of the keys to bringing joy and wholeness into all of our relationships. How often should we forgive? We've heard it earlier, didn't we, when Mark explained it with the children. Basically, we have to forgive consistently every single time it is needed, is Jesus' answer. Consistently every single time forgiveness is needed. And the thing is, spiritually, we get bunged up when we let unforgiveness take hold. I did have an illustration there, but I'm not going to share it because I'd need to be forgiven for using it, so I'm not going to bother. The thing is, unforgiveness damages us. And Jesus wants us to live life to the full. And unforgiveness is one of the things which will take away our joy, takes away that freedom that we might know in God. And it's actually been shown to have physical consequences. It's actually been shown that if we harbor bitterness and resentment and anger and unforgiveness, it comes out in arthritis, comes out in all sorts of physical symptoms, and it certainly comes out in an increased level of stress in our lives day by day. Just go to the doctor, they'll talk to you about it. The second danger that we identified earlier was about living falsely. Because sometimes we can know a theory, but not live it out in practice. Isn't that true? How often that happens in our lives. James Houston writes about forgiveness. He says this: if in the midst of receiving forgiveness, one does not forgive others, it's a clear sign that repentance is not complete. That's a challenge, isn't it? If in the midst of receiving forgiveness, one does not forgive others, it's a clear sign that repentance is not complete. I get disappointed. I get let down. I get deliberately or unintentionally hurt by other people at times in my life. And to me, Jesus says, let it go. Have you ever been disappointed, let down, or deliberately or unintentionally hurt by others? What does Jesus say to you? Let it go. Let it go. Much of the time, we don't need to do anything with others. We just need to forgive them. Simply have to let go of what's been holding us back. It really is that simple. It's also that hard, isn't it? Because as human beings, we like to hold on to our grudges. As human beings, we like to justify and feel that somehow we have something over somebody else. But the reality is that sometimes, if we find we're bunged up spiritually, then we really need to express our forgiveness, and sometimes even to the person involved. But what we're not permitted to do is to be false in our forgiveness. I've had occasions, you know, when I have been forgiven by someone, and yet you know they only shared it in order to hurt and promote guilt. Have you ever had that experience? It's not pleasant, and it's not right. God has forgiven us with amazing abandon. God has forgiven us with an incredible exuberance and celebration of love. Remember some of those images that we heard earlier. Remember those images, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And my particular favourite, you've put all my sins behind your back, so you can't see them. They've gone. That's the level of God's forgiveness for me. It's God's level of forgiveness for you. And our forgiving needs to reflect the same extravagance with which God has forgiven us. Acts 17:28 says this, "For in him we live and move and have our being." In him is undeserved forgiveness, unmerited forgiveness, and unlimited forgiveness. And if we are in him, then through his power at work in us, we need to express the same attitude in the lives that we lead. Put that together. Those of you who are good at arithmetic will note I only had 2 points. We need to be living in forgiveness. It's God's way. It's how we will live the best way that we possibly can. I've only got those 2 points because living forgiven is simple in theory. Notice I say in theory. I'm not suggesting it doesn't have its challenges. But if we can grasp this and make it a daily reality, it transforms so much in our experience as human beings. That's why Jesus stressed it so strongly in his teaching. Each of us needs to know forgiveness received, the cleansing, overwhelming freedom and joy, just like a stream of refreshing water poured over us. That's how God wants us to know his forgiveness in Jesus. And each of us needs to know forgiveness expressed, to live life free from damage, resentment, bitterness, and disappointment. So today, what is God whispering to you about forgiveness? What is God whispering to you about forgiveness? I'd like to take us through a couple of prayers. And you'll notice there's two sort of main aspects to what we've been thinking of. It's about knowing that we are safe and secure in our position before God, that we are forgiven and free in Him. And so the first prayer is a prayer of commitment. This first prayer is about knowing our security is in Him, knowing God's forgiveness and receiving it. And the second prayer is about knowing that there are maybe people and situations where we need to express and live out forgiveness. And we need to take our part in it and put it into action. So that's the two prayers we've got. So I just invite us to be still. And just consider as I read these prayers, if this is you, put it into action in your heart before God today. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Take a few moments to ask His forgiveness for anything particular that's on your conscience. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know to be wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And then the second prayer. Loving Father God, thank you for the forgiveness you have shown to me through Jesus. I want to show the same love and compassion that Jesus has shown me in my life. I recognize the people and places where I need to forgive and bring your healing and restoration. Take a few moments to visualize the people and situations which need the cleansing of forgiveness in your life. Father, forgive me for holding on to a grudge and failing to express your forgiveness in my life. I now choose to forgive and let go of any bitterness and resentment towards these people and circumstances where I've known hurt and harbored pain. Come by your Holy Spirit to bring unity and love. Thank you for helping me to forgive and keep me in a place of wholeness. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I'm conscious on these sort of mornings that it does stir stuff up in our lives. And just a reminder that we do have prayer ministry after the service, or you know, come and chat to me if you need to a little bit later on. Jason picked up in our worship earlier something that I've got down on my list here. And it would be really good to pray for our country today too, wouldn't it? So let's just pray. Father God, thank you that in the midst of the human confusion, frustration, fear, expectation, the whole mixture of emotions and attitudes of what's happened in our country this week, we just come to you as your people and pray, Lord, that we might know your peace. For you are the God who is sovereign. And we pray, Father, that you would help us, whatever our political opinions, to be peacemakers in our community and to express your love and your hope in how we deal with others. We ask, Lord, as we enter into a time of uncertainty and confusion and a period where people perhaps feel a bit of fear and anxiety, that, Lord God, you'd help people to come to you and to be at peace. For our country, Lord, we ask that you would give insight and wisdom in what seems an impossible situation. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the impossible. And so we bring our nation to you, our battered, hurt, frustrated, and confused nation. In the pain of the terrorism we have endured and continue to endure, in the confusion of our leadership, in the anxiety of our country and our communities, Lord, come and bring people to turn to you, because it is only in you that people can find their true sense of security. In Jesus' name, amen.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.